I'm Edgar B. Herwick III, and this is Boston Public Radio. The influential science writer Isaac Asimov once said, the most exciting phrase to hear in science, the one that heralds new discoveries, is not eureka, but that's funny. Now, you hear that, and for some people, they might think, oh, that's kind of a neat idea, or they might consider it and then sort of file it away or perhaps forget it altogether. But for Mark Abrahams, this is a mission statement. And so tomorrow night, for the 22nd straight year, Mark, scores of scientists, a handful of actual Nobel Prize winners, and about 1,200 spectators will celebrate the more bemusing and eccentric sides of science at the Ig Nobel Awards. 10 scientists will be awarded prizes for scientific work that, in Mark's words, makes you laugh and then makes you think. So here now to tell us a little bit more about this year's Ig Nobels and how they fit into the rest of his work at the Annals of Improbable Research is the man behind the whole thing, Mark Abrahams.
Thank you, Edgar. And it's not just scientists. We give Ig Nobel Prizes for anything. We gave the Ig Nobel Prize in art one year to a man named Don Featherstone. Don Featherstone is the creator of the plastic pink flamingo.
That's right. Don Featherstone has been on these airwaves.
And he will be coming back to Sanders Theater to the ceremony tomorrow night to take a bow. We've got something like 8 or 9 past winners coming.
So you sort of built a community out of this thing. It's not unusual that some of your past winners would come back and be a part of this celebration, right?
We have a problem. Now, so many people want to come to be on stage, we can't allow all them. The community really from the start grew up to be worldwide. The winners come from around the world. They're coming from 5 continents tomorrow. I cannot tell you who they are because it's secret until we introduce them.
You can't give us anything?
They're all human.
All right, good. They're all human. Everybody get that?
No, they're not. Come to think of it, one's not.
Okay. Most are human.
But I can't even explain that right now. They come at their own expense because we don't have any money.
Okay.
We get something like 9,000 new nominations every year for Ig Nobel Prizes.
9,000.
Or so, yeah, of which 10% to 20% are people who nominate themselves.
Okay.
Those almost never win. If you want to win one of these and you
get
set out to do it, it's
you.
Very difficult.
Do it under a pseudonym.
No, not that. It's just that this is a side effect, this quality that when you first encounter, when you first hear about one of these, you laugh. There's just something about it. And then a week later, you find it's rattling around in your head still, and all you want to do is tell somebody about it.
What is it that makes something have that quality? Could you give us an example of kind of the quintessential or one or two quintessential Ig Nobel winners, something that really nails that quality of laughing and then thinking?
Sure, here are a couple. One of them that in many countries has become almost a thing of veneration. We gave a prize in the year 2003 to a Dutch scientist named Kees Mulliker. He published a scientific report. It's the first scientific account of homosexual necrophilia in the mallard duck.
Okay. All right. So was he looking for this?
No. No, he just happened to encounter it.
Just came across it.
How
and
much
like
time
a good scientist.
It's like many of the things that have won prizes.
Yeah.
You hear the very short version and it's startling and it's a good story. But
right.
The real good story goes off in about 6 different directions.
Which is to say, give us one of those directions briefly if you could.
He is the curator of a natural history museum, a science museum in the city of Rotterdam. One day he heard a loud bang sound.
Yeah.
They live in a place where a lot of birds fly into the glass side of the building certain times of day. This was an unusually loud bang. It caught his attention. He looked out the window and he saw that there was a duck that had obviously just smashed into the building, broken its neck, and fallen down. But while he was watching, a second duck landed next to it and began engaging in activity. So Kees Mulliker, being a good scientist, went and got his notebook and his camera, and he took notes and photographs for the next 75 minutes.
Hmm.
And he told this to a number of friends, and after many years, they pushed him to write this down and publish this, an account of this, in a scientific journal. He did, in a really obscure Dutch biology journal. Somebody who reads that sent it to us. This is how we hear of things often, from somebody knows something they tell us. We read it, and this was one where, from reading the thing, we could not decide. In fact, until the moment he was on stage speaking, we could not decide. The big question in our head is this somebody who's written this up in such a superb way that it's one of the best, funniest, most deadpan pieces of writing anyone's ever done?
Right.
Or is he insane? And it wasn't until we heard him speaking that we found he truly is an extraordinary writer. He has since become part of the gang, and in fact, he's now become a big part of the magazine. He is our European bureau chief for improbable research.
One of the things that strikes me about this story is I think this kind of gets at something, and you have this statement on your website at one point where you're talking about what you're trying to do with this work, both the magazine, the Ig Nobel Awards, and you do a bi-monthly magazine where all this kind of stuff is published.
Yeah, I also write a newspaper column every week in one of the London newspapers about all this stuff.
But you talk about the word improbable and the definition of that word, and you talk about how this work, you're trying to, on some level, sort of spark that question in people's mind, which is how do you decide what's important and what's not, what's real and what's not in science and in everywhere else. So I think that what you're talking about with this situation gets at that a little bit. It's shocking, it's funny sometimes, but there's a real underlying reason behind what you're doing.
Improbable means it's not what you expect. Right. Doesn't tell you anything about whether it's good or bad. You didn't expect it. How can you possibly know at first glance? And that's the kind of thing I'm always seeking out. And that's what we write about. That's what we give prizes to. Things that in some way it's so unexpected, you haven't run across anything like this, that you don't know what to make of it, but you want to know more. And every day, I'm getting sort of personal here, but to me, this is what deeply it's all about. Every day, there are lots of people who are telling us things. There are people who get on TV. There are politicians. You have teachers, people in your family, authority figures telling you, this is good. You know, this product is good. This political party is good. That candidate is good. That one's bad.
Yeah.
And they expect you to accept what they're saying. And to me, give them the respect that they deserve, whatever that is, but there's no reason why you have to automatically assume that, yeah, that's good or that's bad. You can make your own decision about things. You can look at least for a couple seconds and then make your decision.
And on some level, this is what science is about. And I think because of that, you have the buy-in of real scientists. You know, first of all, the awards are going to real scientists, but you have like legitimate, seriously like lauded scientists at the award ceremony. And let's talk briefly about the award ceremony, which is going to be happening tomorrow night at Sanders Theater. You have actual Nobel laureates giving each of these prizes, right? So you're going to give 10 prizes out.
10 new Ig Nobel prizes. We've been giving 10 every year since 1991. Yeah, there'll be five Nobel laureates there who will actually shake the hands of the new winners and hand them their Ig Nobel prizes. One of those Nobel laureates will be given away as a prize every year. One of the things that happen, all of the 1,100 people who buy a ticket and come to the ceremony at Sanders Theater have a chance to win a date with a Nobel laureate.
who can they win a date with this year?
This year, the prize will be Eric Maskin, who's a Nobel Prize-winning economist. He came to the ceremony last year, and apparently it didn't frighten him enough that he stayed away.
So speaking of Nobel Prize winners in economics, or economists who've won the Nobel Prize, you brought, by a confluence of events at one of these ceremonies, Paul Krugman, who was a Nobel Prize winner, ended up with a bra strapped to his face. Can you tell us how that happened?
I can.
Okay, go for it.
This was 3 years ago, I believe. That year, one of the prizes went to Dr. Elena Bodnar. She's a doctor who grew up in Ukraine, now lives in Chicago. She invented a brassiere that, in an emergency, can be quickly separated into a pair of protective face masks, one for you, one for some lucky bystander. She came to the ceremony. She demonstrated it by removing her bra from her dress, separating it into two. And then we had three Nobel laureates step up. One of them was Paul Krugman, and she put half of her bra on his face. She's coming back tomorrow, by the way, to take a bow and who knows do what else.
So you do sort of one of the things that I think.
Oh,
is
can I mention? I have a new book that's just published a few days ago called "This Is Improbable."
All right,
about a lot of this stuff, and I'd also like to mention the ceremony tomorrow night is going to be webcast live, free on the internet. So improbable.com. Anybody can watch it. Starts at 7:30.
Are there still tickets available if we wanted to go ourselves?
No, it's been sold out for quite a long time.
Sold out for quite a long time, but you can get it online. Check out the whole thing. And the book is that is it a sort of culled from your improbable annals of improbable
research
articles?
The book is taken from a lot of the newspaper columns that I've written in the Guardian newspaper over the last 10 years. And I went back and I looked at what some of these people have been doing since and what else has happened.
All right. Any predictions about what's going to happen tomorrow?
I'll say to you now the final thing that I say every year. It's the last thing that's said at the Ig Nobel ceremony. if you didn't win an Ig Nobel Prize this year, and especially if you did, better luck next year.
Okay, that is Mark Abrams, the editor and co-founder of the Annals of Improbable Research and the father and MC, I should mention, of the Ig Nobel Prize Awards. As he mentioned, you can watch these live on the internet. There are links to that and all kinds of improbable goodies on our website, which is wgbhnews.org. And hey, if you go to the event, tweet me a photo. I'd love to see it. You can find me on Twitter at ebherwick3. Thanks for joining us for another edition of Boston Public Radio. Boston Public Radio is a production of WGBH.